coming up on Your Best Life.
We have got to let that chafed, bruised soul that's been bruised by somebody else's anger go and develop a soft response. Not come back like with like, but actually develop a Christ-like response in every one of these circumstances. Now I'm
Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I'm talking to you about how to handle your emotions. When I saw that topic, I thought, this is enormous. I mean, emotions are happiness and feelings and mood swings. And so I thought I'd focus in on one major emotion that all of us will encounter at various times. And if we can master the art of controlling this, then I know that we'll be able to control the whole range of emotions and feelings that we experience. I want to talk about managing anger. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Anger is such a horrible emotion. It can overwhelm people so they're not even thinking straight anymore. And if a person is given to rage and to wrath, they create such a heavy atmosphere all around them. I want to take us through a number of scriptures here today that the Bible talks about how to cope with our temper, our temperament, which is managing anger. And it says here, he who is slow to anger. It doesn't say we never get angry, but if we are quick to anger, it just flies off the leash in a sudden jolt, we are going to be out of control in every area of life. And we will find ourselves destroying relationships, destroying atmospheres, destroying all kinds of things that are valuable to us. And we'll be wounding and hurting people that we love. So we need to make sure that we can bring control to this area of anger in our lives. Now, this anger that resides in people's hearts, if we nurse it, if we hold on to a resentment and an anger and we brood on it, we're going to find that depression is quickly on the heels of anger. It is impossible to be angry and happy at the same time. To be joyfully angry is, you can't be done. It's impossible to hate somebody and love them at the same time. So we can't have opposing emotions on the inside of us. We have got to know how to contain and manage anger. Now, some people say, oh, if you don't let it out, you're just suppressing it. I'm not so sure that's suppression. I think it's about controlling anger. Some people say, oh, that person's got anger issues because of what happened to them a long time ago. You know, I think everybody's got anger issues because anger is something that belongs to our human nature. It's something that's in our flesh. And for some, because they've never disciplined it or harnessed it, they find it runs loose more often. But once that anger is held onto, and it seems to be in so many people's lives, they're just upset about life, angry about things. That's going to just steal the taste out of your food. It's going to steal the bright light out of the sun. It takes the heat out of a warm day. It just sucks the life out of your world when you're constantly in this depressed and angry state. Jesus came into this world to help us be delivered from these oppressive feelings and to help us manage it in our own lives by giving us the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 25, 28 says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." That's not a good sign, especially in the days when this was written. The only defense you had for your city was that you had walls all around your city. And so people had to scale the walls or coming through the gates, try and get through there. There was a defense system. And the Bible is saying our lives are like that, that we have walls around us of control when we can actually manage our emotions. But as soon as we get angry, we tear those walls down and we obviously become extremely vulnerable to a whole range of other things that can come in and start breaking down and destroying our city. Anger is such a destructive emotion, and I believe that God has solutions for us to overcome it. Right here today, in your world, that instead of anger, you can have joy. Instead of unforgiveness, you can have forgiveness. Instead of hatred, you can have love in your life. Instead of confusion, you can have peace. This is what Jesus said, I want to come into your world and bring to you so that you can not only just have them as a deposit from the Holy Spirit and from God himself, but you can learn how to manage your life and control your life. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And it's a fruit, it's not a gift. A gift would mean that you have the whole package straight away. But a fruit is something that develops and grows over time. And so self-control isn't achieved in a second. But each day as you take command of your emotions, one after another, every day you manage that, you will grow stronger in the world of self-control. And the Holy Spirit is there to empower you. As soon as you make the decision to not be involved in anger or in rage, you're going to keep it together. You'll find there is a power there to hold your emotional world together and stop the destruction that comes from unrestrained anger. Now, it says in Proverbs 19, verse 11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. And then in Proverbs 20, verse 3, it says, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. People are honored when they withhold anger, even though they would almost be justified in expressing it. It's to a man's glory, to a person's glory, to overlook a transgression rather than to pick up on it and let it agitate their soul. All of us get annoyed or irritated or aggravated. I mean, there's a whole range of words about anger, all the way from just mild irritation to wrath. And any of these words, irritation, annoyed, they can trigger a deeper level of anger until it is actually taking a hold of us instead of us taking a hold of it. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9 says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. So this is when we, as I said before, nurse an anger, when we nurse a wound, when we rehearse it in our mind and fixate on it, when we have that internal conversation like that, we're going to find ourselves in all kinds of difficulty, all kinds of trouble. And so we need to find a way to bring that anger to God so that he can suck out the poison, so he can withdraw all of the irritations and aggravations that we're carrying around. We must learn how to resolve anger. One of the most important ways to do that is to forgive people who have offended us. Or maybe sometimes it's even to go and apologize to a person who has been doing things to us and we've reacted wrongly. We've overreacted, we've been oversensitive. And rather than blame them, to actually go like, you know, I'm sorry, I just completely overreacted on that point. These are difficult things to do, to forgive people that you kind of resent, you don't want to, and to apologize to people. These are humbling things to do, but that's good for our soul. That is really healthy for our inner life to embrace humility and not to hold on to pride and anger and justify our anger. In Proverbs 29, verse 22, it says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. Ah, that's so true. You know, when we let anger off the leash, we will say things and do things and feel completely like we're justified in doing this because I'm mad with the whole world. And so people do crazy things, the way they drive a car, drinking alcohol, bashing people, yelling, language that they would never normally use. We can't allow furiousness to get a hold of us. It is like an attitude that is so overwhelming for some people. We've got to let it go. And here today, I'm believing that you'll find a way to actually let it go and say, what am I doing? I'm holding on to something that's destroying me. Holding on to unforgiveness and not forgiving another person is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It doesn't do us any good at all. And so Proverbs 22, I know there's a lot of scriptures here, but this is important because the Bible has a lot to say about this emotion. Proverbs 22, 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Honestly, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We conform to the fellowship, to the kind of people we're hanging out with. And if we're always hanging out with complaining people, oh, and they're whining and negative about everything, we'll pick up on it eventually. But you know, if we can either guide the conversation into a positive place, or if we hang out with angry people, we're gonna find ourselves getting angry. It's a spirit, it's an atmosphere that can get a hold of us. And so choose the friends that you hang out with. Proverbs 27 verse 3, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Oh, isn't that a terrible situation when you're in a home and there's a person who's like a box of dynamite with a very short fuse, and everybody is tiptoeing around. They don't want to say anything or do anything because they know that this person is explosive. They're just going to blow up and then start bullying everybody. And so nobody wants to rouse the monster. And that is, look, if we feel like we're a bit like that, we've got to deal with that here today so that we, you know, people are not manipulated. It's such a manipulative thing because then people, they feel suffocated. The atmosphere is heavy and nobody wants to talk and nobody can express themselves because they're shut down by this oppressive feeling and this oppressive atmosphere. Our homes should be bright and light and celebrative places. The church should not be a place of anger and wrath or any of that. It should be a place of joy. Wherever Jesus went, people were so attracted to him. They knew he wasn't just gonna come down with angry statements on them, but he came with healing and with deliverance and freedom. Everywhere he went, children, mothers, people who were considered marginalized, people who were considered sinners, everybody felt so attracted to Jesus because his atmosphere all around him was not one of anger or wrath. It was one of like the sun shining, for goodness sake. It was freedom and liberty everywhere he went. In Proverbs 21 verse 9, I've talked about men holding anger in their life. This is terrible. Proverbs 21 verse 19 says, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So we got to ask ourselves, do people stay a long way from me? Do they not feel like comfortable just hanging around? Is there a reason why I'm repelling rather than attracting? And if we're carrying around contention and we're always difficult and angry, or if we're just contrary, you cannot just never agree with anybody. You're always thinking, oh yeah, but those things, that's contention. And that contentiousness is hard work for everybody. And nobody likes to feel, oh, here comes that person. It's going to be hard work. Let's become people that are like Christ, that are like Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. People who are flowing, who are easy, who are agreeable, who pursue unity, who pursue agreement, not disagreement and contention and anger and argument all the time. I believe Jesus never presented that kind of face, and neither should we. As the church, we want to welcome people into a celebrative atmosphere all the time. How do we deal with anger when it comes our way? Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. when somebody's angry at you, don't come back with the same high volume, shrieking, yelling. Talk quietly. Talk quietly, lower the volume, and make them sweet words, soft answer. Harsh words stir up strife. I don't know, there's something in me that never handles the road rage thing that well. And I get aggravated sometimes, you know, like when you're at the lights and you just look down for a second or change the station and the light went green, but it's only like 1 second and the guy behind you goes honk. And all of us know there's honk language on the roads. There's honk, honk, it's angry and you can feel it. It's like, and then there's honk and it's like happy or hi, we're just turning up outside, honk, honk, or goodbye, honk, honk, honk. And, you know, there's on the roads, there's honk language, and there's the bump, bump, just letting you know I'm here, and in the car park when there's somebody driving out. But there's that one, just it's too long on the horn behind you at the green light, honk. And oh, man, you know, I what I do is I open the door, I get out of the car, I walk around, and I go down there and pop my boot, I get the jack out, you know, like the crowbar. And I go over and smash both headlights in my mind. I do all that just in my mind because I got to figure out that, hello, it's a church member. It's somebody from church. And I got to remember I'm a pastor. And once you've got a thought like that in your head, you fantasize about how you could get that person back. And sometimes you lie on your bed and the Bible talks about sharpening your tongue on your bed. When you're getting sharp and you meet the person, you just use your tongue like a sword and cut them to bits. We've got to get rid of all that. We have got to let that chafed, bruised soul that's been bruised by somebody else's anger go and develop a soft response. Not come back like with like, but actually develop a Christ-like response in every one of these circumstances. I know you can do it. And Proverbs 10 verse 12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Amazing. When you love people, they can't do wrong. You don't see the wrongs they're doing. They might do wrong and then you've got to actually help them, maybe alert them to that fact, but love is quick to forgive. Love doesn't even take into account a wrong it suffers, the Bible says. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a story about two brothers, and Cain and Abel. It says in Genesis 4:3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. And what happened was that God respected the offering of his younger brother, Abel, but didn't receive Cain's offering. It was probably fire falling from heaven as to how God might have witnessed that he accepted the offering. Or it could have been just blessing on the farm of Abel and it didn't come on Cain's farm. Whatever happened there, Cain got upset. It says his face, his countenance fell. And God came to him and said, Cain, do the right thing. Get your attitude right and come and bring an offering that I've been looking for. And because there's a force lying at the door wanting to pounce on you and possess you and hold you. It was called sin. It's like the devil is there trying to get a hold of Cain and tempting him into this angry response. Well, God's appeal to him didn't quite work that day because he said, come on, Cain, do the right thing. He's just begging him. Cain refused. He said, no, I'm upset. And he held on and he brooded in that anger. Eventually, he was talking with his brother Abel in the field and that hatred overwhelmed him. He rose up and killed his brother. Such a tragic end to two brothers. I mean, I've had kids and they tend to fight with each other sometimes, but when they start killing each other, that's a real problem. And here's this situation with very early beginnings in the human race and people are holding on to anger. It's not a new problem, people. It's an ancient difficulty. Moses, when he was about to go into the land of Canaan, God said, I want you to speak to that rock and it'll bring out water. But the congregation were complaining about everything. And Moses took the stick, the rod of God in his hand, and smote the rock in anger. He said, must I do this, lead you people? That one moment of anger cost him the possession of the promised land. God said, because you did that, I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to go into the promised land. You dishonored God in front of that whole congregation. He didn't realize how serious it was, because the rock, we're told in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, was Christ. And right at the beginning of their journeys in the wilderness, Moses had struck that rock and water had come out. From then on, he only needed to speak to it. But when he struck it twice, that was never going to happen to Jesus. He was only ever going to be struck once for our sin on the cross. And from then on, that picture, that type, that shadow, that symbol of Jesus had been ruined by Moses doing that. But you know, just one moment of anger can cost us so much. One moment of anger can, we can do things that are totally out of character. And you know you're a better person than that person who gets angry and says things and does that. And I know, and God knows that you are. And God wants to move into our lives so that we become consistently able to manage areas of our emotional life that are out of control. And I believe he can do that right here today. So I'm going to pray for you right now for the power of God to touch your world and bring freedom, bring healing, and empower us all to actually manage that area of our life. Father, I pray right now for every person in each of our congregations. Lord, let the anointing break the yoke, destroy every bondage, and bring freedom today in Jesus' name. Amen.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.